Well, good morning. How's everybody? Good morning. I hope you're doing well. I want to take a second and welcome you here, whether you're with us in the room right now or whether you're joining us live on the stream on Facebook or YouTube or a little bit later on Spotify, wherever you are. I'm excited that you're here with us. If you don't know me, my name's Elliot, and I am thrilled to begin a brand new series with you today called Simply Christmas. Who's ready for Christmas? We got some people? Yeah, we got a couple. Okay, here's the thing. And I debated on whether to even reveal this, but here's a little glimpse into my brain. At least in my brain, there's kind of two types of people at Christmas time. There's Buddy the Elf, and then there's the Grinch. So I need to know, where's my Buddy the Elf friends? Are you in here? See, they're proud, right? You know your Buddy the Elf if you had your Christmas tree up well before Thanksgiving. You're the first one in the neighborhood to have your lights up, and you're the people that have been posting on Facebook every day how many sleeps there are till Christmas for like a month, right? There's no judgment, it's just true, right? Okay, and the rest of y'all, well, we'll talk later. And I have I'm teasing y'all. I have a small confession to make, though, as we begin this series, and that's I don't fall into the Buddy the Elf category personally, okay? And some of you are like, how dare you? Okay, but the rest of y'all are like, oh, thank goodness. Okay, here's the thing. And it may sound weird because you're like, you know, you're a preacher, right? You should be like over the top excited about Christmas. And honestly, sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's a little bit difficult for me to get all the way into the Christmas spirit. And you know, I noticed that I didn't used to have that problem until I got into ministry. And some of y'all are like, ooh, are you allowed to say that? And I don't know, but I did. So here we are, okay? And I just want you to walk with me for a second and explain this a little bit. I spent the first 10 years of my time in ministry in worship ministry. And so I was putting together all the music and doing all this stuff. And for those of you who have never really been that deep into the church world, you need to understand this, at least in music, but really for all of us in the church world, Christmas starts the day after Easter. Did you know? It does. And so in my life, I was working on music and rehearsals and all this stuff for 6 months prior to the time you show up to the candlelight service. And by the time we got there, I did not want to sing O Holy Night anymore because I've been singing it for 6 months at this point. Okay, there's 1,000 moving pieces. There's 1 million volunteers to coordinate. And here's the thing, we need double the amount of volunteers, but half the people that normally volunteer are gone because they're either out of town or they got family in town. So you got twice the need, but half the people, and I'm pulling my hair out, and there's 65 Christmas parties to go to, and I can't forget to decorate my own house, because what kind of minister doesn't decorate their own house for Christmas? I can't be the Grinch in the neighborhood. And so by the time we get to the end of the Christmas services, and the last light has dimmed, and I'm standing in the worship center by myself, emotionally and physically and spiritually and all of the other ways, exhausted. I just want to go home and go to bed for like a month, but I can't. Because now I got to go home and be there for my family, who also happens to like Christmas a lot, and I want to have great traditions with them, and we want to have a good time, so I've got to ramp it up even further. We're trying to establish good traditions, and then we're going to drive 3+ hours to see our extended family that we don't get to see hardly ever. And oh yeah, what's the thing that I'm forgetting about Christmas? Jesus was born. Yeah, there's that in there as well. And so I'm just exhausted. But no matter who you are, whether you're Buddy the Elf or whether you need Cindy Lou Who to help your heart grow 3 sizes, we all face the same thing at Christmas. We all face distractions that come at us from every angle, and they try to pull our focus in so many different directions. It's hard to focus at Christmas, isn't it? And it's hard to focus on the things that matter the most. We don't want to do that because we don't want to miss those moments that matter the most. This is true in every area of our lives, and I promise we're going to get to the Christmas story in just a second, but I want to give you one more small example just to illustrate this for you. Many of you, and our family does this too, every year at Christmas we get together with family that we rarely see. Okay, maybe you only see these people every other year at Christmas. And when that happens, you feel this pressure, don't you, to have a good time? and to make it amazing because you know you've only got a couple of days. And it's like dads when you take the kids to Disney World. You're like, you will have fun. This is going to be great. And that's what we do, right? We're like, this, we have to make this amazing. And how many times does a silly fight ruin that gathering? Because Uncle Frank, it's always him. I don't know why, but it is. Uncle Frank, he forgot that we were doing a white elephant gift exchange, so he didn't bring anything. And now there's a fight, and the whole day is ruined. And it's easy to forget that we didn't gather together to have a white elephant gift exchange, although those are fun. But that's not why we got together. We got together to celebrate Jesus and spend time with people that we never get to see, and we know that we can't get these moments back, but it's really easy to get distracted and let something silly ruin the moment because we have this desire, this need to make this Christmas the biggest one and the best one that there's ever been. We're frantic with a desire to make everything perfect, but I don't know if you've noticed, at least in my life, this is true. It's the simple moments that tend to matter the most. It's those moments that they might not even make the journal. But it's those little ones that tend to make the most impact in our life. I mean, you know how many times the highlight of my day was I wrote something really profound for a sermon? Not very often, and most of you are like, yeah, we know, we hear you every week. So that's beside the point. But you know how many times the highlight of my day is I come home and I stick my key in the front door and I turn the lock and I see three little heads pop around the corner. And as I open the door to a chorus of Daddy, and then they run and they jump up in my arms and I just grab them and hold them. How many times is that the highlight of my day? More often than not. More often than not. But those are moments that can easily go overlooked, aren't they? And at Christmas, we have so many things competing for our attention. So many distractions. But let me just ask you, what would change if we refused to be distracted, if we refused to be frantic, and instead we focused in on what really mattered? We focused in on a simple story that changed the course of human history. Because, you know, when we give into frantic, we don't make our best decisions, do we? When we give into frantic, we don't make our best decisions. Instead, we end up making a mess. We can take something that's so beautiful and so simple, and turn it into a complicated mess in a hurry, can't we? We're really good at it, and we always have been. In Matthew chapter 2, which is where we're going to camp out today, if you have your Bible with us, you can open up to Matthew chapter 2. If you're following along in the Bible app, you can hit that live event, and it'll have everything right there for you. But Matthew chapter 2 is one of the most well-known passages in all of Scripture. But I don't want to just glance over it today. I want to take a look at it with fresh eyes, with focused eyes. Here's what Matthew writes. It says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. I want you to file that word away for just a second, because we're going to come back to it. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly, had a little secret meeting. He called them secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, it's a familiar story. If you've been around church at all, especially at Christmas time, you've probably heard it before. You probably heard it even if you've never been to a church building in your life. But I don't want you to miss this, because it's easy to overlook. The Magi were focused and Herod was frantic. Magi were focused, and Herod was frantic. The wise men or the Magi, they had traveled a great distance. They had sacrificed a lot so that they could be in the presence of the Messiah. Now, they were very likely from Babylon and only even knew about the Messiah because the Old Testament prophet Daniel had been in captivity in Babylon years and years prior, okay? And if you've been around the Cove for a minute, you'll remember we did a whole series on Daniel's captivity in Babylon. We'll link it up in social if you want to check that out. But the Magi, they were coming to see a Messiah that was not of their own people, but they weren't going to let anything stand in their way of standing in the presence of Jesus. Now, on the other hand, we have Herod, and his people had been anxiously awaiting the Messiah for centuries at this point. You would expect the reaction to the news that the Messiah had been born, the King of Kings, the Savior has come. You would expect the reaction to be celebration, maybe a coronation or some other Asian word that you can fill me in with later. I don't know. But it doesn't say that, does it? It wasn't a celebration. There was no coronation. There was none of that. You remember the word that Scripture used there? It said he was disturbed. It's kind of an odd reaction, isn't it? Why do you think he would be disturbed that the King of Kings, the one they've been waiting for, why are they disturbed that he actually came? Well, I'll give you my best guess. My guess is that the reason Herod was disturbed is because he had long since stopped living in anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. So he wasn't living for that anymore. Instead, Herod was living to accumulate power for himself. And how many of you know that what you're living for determines how you live? What you're living for determines how you live. And Herod wasn't waiting on the Messiah to show up. He was doing everything he could to accumulate power. He was distracted, if you will. We'll say he was preoccupied. He was so preoccupied with his own power that he missed the miracle of Jesus. The Magi were focused, and their focus brought them into the presence of the Savior. They worshiped him. And then they were able to return home knowing they had been in the presence of the King of Kings. But if you remember, even though they had had that secret meeting with Herod, and he said, come back and see me and tell me what's going on, where I can find him, they didn't go back to Herod. You remember why? Matthew tells us. He says, on coming to the house, bonus content, they didn't go to the manger, they went to the house. Anyway, on coming to the house, the Magi, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Their focus brought them into the presence of Jesus, but Herod, he was kind of in a frenzy. And it just got worse when he realized that the Magi weren't coming back, didn't it? He kind of went off the rails. You see, it never was his intention to go back and worship Jesus because he wasn't living for Jesus' coming. He wanted to consolidate his power, so his plan wasn't to worship Jesus. It was to eliminate him and clear the board for himself. You see, I told you, you don't make your best decisions when you're frantic, do you? You don't make your best decisions. You make a mess. And an angel appeared to Joseph as well. He said, hey, Joseph, I need you to take Mary. You need to take Jesus. I need you to get out of town. I need you to go to Egypt because it's about to all go down here. And that was prophesied in the book of Hosea. You can go and you can check that out if you like. But then what happened next is one of the most desperate and tragic scenes in all of Scripture, in my opinion. Herod orders, based on the conversation he's had with the Magi about when the star appeared, he orders that all the babies in that region, 2 years old and under, be killed. And this was prophesied as well. You can read about that in the book of Jeremiah. And I love messianic prophecy as much or more than the next guy. But I don't want to get so caught up in the academics of this was prophesied that we miss. But these were real people. These were real moms and dads who had their real children taken from them and executed because of one man's lust for power. You know, we're rarely the only ones hurt by the decisions we make when we get frantic. We're rarely the only ones hurt by the decisions we make when we're frantic. So let me just ask you, are you focused? Are you frantic? Are you focused? or are you frantic? This is a choice that you can make, and this is a choice that you will make this Christmas. The good news is this. Nobody can force you to be frantic. Okay? They can't. And you can't always choose your circumstances. Many of us in this room, on the stream, listening later, many of us are living in circumstances right now that we didn't choose, we wouldn't have chosen, and we wish we could go back and unchoose. We don't always get to choose the circumstances we're living in, but we do every time get to choose how we respond to them, don't we? And here's the key to staying away from frantic this Christmas. I'm going to give it to you in four words. Focus on glorifying Jesus. I mean, y'all are looking at me like, that's what you got for me. That's a little too simplistic. I mean, I know the sermon series is called Simply Christmas, but can you go a little more? But just because something's simple doesn't mean it's easy, does it? Focus on glorifying Jesus. Let me ask you, is that your primary goal this Christmas? Not like it made the list, but is that the number one priority? Glorifying Jesus, bringing him glory this Christmas. Is that the top line on your priority list? And by the way, if you're a follower of Jesus, that should be the top line of your priority list every day that you draw breath into your lungs, because that's what we're here to do. But that's a different sermon for a different day. Maybe I should ask it a different way then. Let me ask you this. This Christmas, are you more focused on making Christmas perfect or making Jesus proud? Are you more focused on making Christmas perfect or making Jesus proud? Because if your goal is glorifying Jesus, then you might just make some different decisions. The things that make it onto the calendar might look a little bit different if the top line goal is glorifying Jesus. Because if that's the top line goal, then what I'm going to do is look at all the options that I have this Christmas and go, which things bring the most glory to Jesus? That's what's actually going to make it on my calendar. The things that matter this season might change. Now, don't get me wrong, there's still going to be lots to do. There's going to be things to do, and I hope you didn't just hear me say that you shouldn't go and celebrate with your friends and family, because that's not what I said. I did not say I want you to go home and stare at a manger scene until December 26th. Then you can come back outside. That's not what I said. But in case you're kind of half listening, because the sermon's, you know, wrapping up here in a minute, I just want to say it very clearly. Go to the parties. Celebrate with your friends, with your family. Glorify Jesus along the way. As you go, glorify Jesus in the midst of the chaos, or else you will be consumed by chaos this Christmas. That's going to happen. Some of us have lived it year over year, haven't we? Focus on glorifying Jesus in the midst of the chaos, or you will be consumed by the chaos this Christmas. So how do we do it? How do we focus on Christ this Christmas? Well, it might mean reading a little bit of the Christmas story every night as a family before everything shuts down. Maybe it means spending a little bit of extra time in prayer intentionally, thanking God for sending Christ to the earth. Maybe it means actually starting that prayer journal. Maybe it means actually carving out time to sit in silence and solitude, or going on that prayer walk, or whatever it looks like in your life. But here's what I know. Regardless of how you choose to focus on Christ this Christmas, here's what I know. Focus always costs you something. Focus always costs you something. This is true whether you're talking about your walk with Jesus or anything else. So I'll just illustrate it this way. If I'm focused on losing weight, that's going to cost me something, isn't it? It means I'm going to say yes to chicken breasts and no to chips more often than not, yeah? Okay? Focus always costs you something. And Jesus came to earth with a singular focus, did he not? From his first breath in Bethlehem till his last on Golgotha, Jesus was focused on one thing, and that was saving mankind from sin. But his focus cost him everything, didn't it? When we read about it in Philippians chapter 2, we're talking about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all his people said, amen. He's worthy of your focus. He's worthy of your praise. He's the reason we're here. He's the reason we celebrate. He's the reason we have peace with God. So church, we refuse to be frantic. I won't do it. We refuse to be frantic. Instead, we're going to focus on bringing glory to Jesus. We're going to lock our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He is worthy. He's worthy of it all. And as we journey towards Christmas together, let's remember that moment that changed the course of history. It's a simple story, isn't it? It's a simple story of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, a baby born in Bethlehem. And because of him, we have peace with God. So don't be distracted. Don't be frantic. Focus on bringing glory to Jesus. There's a lot of things vying for your attention. There's a lot of things that want to steal your peace this Christmas. But because of Jesus, we have peace. He's brought peace to this earth, and he'll bring peace to your life as well. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in your presence this morning and give you glory, for you are worthy. Father, help us not to be distracted from all of the things vying for our attention, but instead to fix our eyes on Jesus and bring him glory with every breath that we take. We love you so much, and we're so thankful that Jesus came from heaven to earth. It's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.